You're listening to Comics with Kenobi.
It is episode number 149, and I have only one question for you, Jeff. Can you deliver a kiss that kills?
Geek me all knowing boxes stay open May 4th. I'm hoping you're gonna be hot as before. Cause Ren looks hardcore. And I don't want Sith running the galaxy.
It depends on who you ask.
Well, given what we read in Dr. Aphra number 39, it's pretty clear we know who can deliver a kiss that kills.
Yes. Who's that again?
It's Magna Tolvin, of course.
Oh, yeah, her. Yes. So welcome, dear listeners. We are we're recording this show the day the book comes out. We normally record these several days after, but in the interest of the Thanksgiving holiday, we're recording it ahead of time. So we don't necessarily have much news per se. So just watch the Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr. Is it Tumblr?
Yeah, sometimes I'll put stuff on Tumblr. So
watch those for news, and we'll have any other news out for next week's show. But this week, we just have one book to talk about. We have Dr. Aphra number 39.
It's the penultimate issue of the series, volume one.
And let's just jump right into it, Matt. I love this cover. This is an Ashley M. Witter cover, isn't it?
It is. It's so good.
The look on her face, on Aphra's face, she's in what looks like a jail cell, but she looks very pleased with herself.
She's got a nice little smirk on her face, doesn't she?
I love it so much. Oh, it's just charming. And I love that we can see some of the techno tattoos that she's got on her arm, because those are going to come into play. And yeah, this is great. Why don't you give us a rundown of the creative team on this one?
Well, as always, the writer on this book is Simon Spurrier, as he has been for a while now. Art is by Casper Wingard. Colors by Lee Loffridge. Letters by VC's Joe Caramagna. Cover, as we've already discussed, is by Ashley Witter. There was a Greatest Moments variant cover by Raza that features Rose Tico. Assistant editor is Tom Groneman, and editor is Mark Panizia. And as always, there is a very special thanks to Kieran Gillen. One important flag about this issue is you will have to remember that this is subtitled Destination Hoth on the cover. So this is basically, much like Star Wars, is leading us into the events of The Empire Strikes Back, and somewhat directly, if you will, into Star Wars number one, which comes out January 1st, which is going to be set after the events of The Empire Strikes Back. We got one more issue to go of Dr. Aphra, number 40. It's out in December. And then, of course, we have that big Empire Ascendant one-shot that's basically wrapping everything, wrapping up, if you will, Marvel's first phase of the Star Wars comics line.
All right. And, so we've got I like that they keep – the special thanks for Kieran Gillen have stayed in there. I do like that, because everything we have on here is thanks to Kieran Gillen. And this is a part three of A Rogue's End, and we're picking up right where we left off. And I love the scroll on this really reminds us of exactly where we are. I've talked about before that Jeff sometimes has trouble remembering where he is in a book until about a page or two in. I finally remember, oh yeah, this is what happened last time. And these books bring us right up to where we left off. You know, Aphra has, her father has chosen to sacrifice himself for Aphra, but that gets interrupted by an attack by Magna Tolvin and a squad of rebel
her rebel team. Yep, her rebel team.
And their ship is the Unnamed, which I like. I don't know that I knew that part. And this first page, I really like the design of the ship.
It's a neat design.
It's really cool. It looks like binoculars mixed with like a hard drive mixed with it's just a really, really, really bizarre design, but I really, really like it.
It's really cool. And we open up, and of course, you know, what's going on is, you know, Tolvin's crew is reporting to her, you know, we've searched the captives, Captain Tolvin. There's no sign of Aphra. And of course, Tolvin is like, look, she's here. Well, how can you be so sure? I just know. And the look on her face, that's like part longing, part love, part Oh, frustration.
So. And you notice she's holding her shoulder. We're going to find out why in a bit, because, and I love the, her crew member's response. And I'll be honest, at first I thought, is that Aphra? Because this crewman is wearing goggles and the same sort of hat that Aphra wears.
Yeah, except she's got four arms. So.
This is true, which we'll find out later. She says, spooky connection between star-crossed lovers. Got it. And Tolvin says, no, that's not it. And then they say, Captain, getting a weird energy spike here. And he says, it's a cannon. Someone's charging the cannons. She's going to blast her way out. Pull back. She'll open up a vacuum, get out of the hangar, go. And Tolvin's just standing there. She goes, no, wait, she wouldn't do that.
And she would, but she doesn't because she just shoots the floor.
She jumps down. And I love this. Heh.
And you turn the page, you know, like you said, Aphra's just bounding out of the cannon, you know, the cannon structure. And you pew, 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 kaboom. And then I love the exposition here. The cannon. She hid inside the cannon systems. I forgot how sneaky she is. I can see why you like her. All hands, we have a stowaway. And, of course, Tolvin is all business right now.
Is Aphra is halfway down the hall.
And then she said, you may shoot to kill. So, and this dialogue here between Tolvin's crewmate. She abandoned her own father. And then Tolvin replies, is icily standard. Get this rabble to the brig. Of course, you know, that's the stormtroopers that, you know, they've overpowered on the shuttle. So, and then, of course, we get back to TZ2, who's in the ops room. And this is, you know, this is where the crux of the story comes out. You know, he says, I've been analyzing footage from the Helix Temple. The hidden cameras we left in the atrium recorded some conversation. I believe they're searching for the information on the new Rebel headquarters. In fact, I surmise that. And then having that far right panel go completely black, just featuring Tolvin and the other Rebel. TZ? And then you go to the bottom. You know, and just you see Tolvin running, and the lines in the back there.
I love it.
Going with how much haste they're making.
And look at the way this is framed. She's got her arm back behind her, and she's got one of her crew members under her arm, the other one right at the back of her, behind her with her gun ostensibly pointed at him, and this other one in front, angled almost the same as her hand. The movement of this panel is perfect.
It's very kinetic.
It is. And it's also very... We have a term in the theater. You want your stage, your set to be balanced, but not symmetrical. And I talk about that a lot on Talking Toys with Taylor and Jeff. And this is what we've got. I love this frame. It's perfectly balanced, but it's not symmetrical. But your eyes drawn directly to the middle and then outward exactly where the artist wants you to go. And I just think it's wonderful.
It's really awesome. And then, of course, you know, we get to the control room. And I got to admit, I didn't think this was Aphra. I was not snookered.
Oh, you weren't?
Even with the hands, it's like, nah, that's not Aphra, you know. And so, you know, we get Magna giving us, you know, sort of her exposition. And I think it's needed in this case because, you know, we all know that Aphra is morally questionable and ambiguous at best. But she also does have a good heart. You know, Aphra, selling out the home of a few thousand freedom fighters might actually have been a contender for the worst thing you've ever done. If it weren't already the stupidest. Think about it. You're trying to save yourself from the monster who vowed to kill you by giving him exactly what he wants. What do you think Vader will do to you after you've served your purpose, you silly little fool? But that's you all over, isn't it? Sell tomorrow, live today. Tech slicing won't help you. The whereabouts of the Rebel base are known only to the officers of captain rank or higher.
And I love all the guns pointed.
It's a great shot. But don't worry. You'll see it soon enough. You'll sit out the war there, thanking your stars the rebellion bothers to feed its prisoners, and praying another snake like you doesn't lead the Empire straight to it. Now turn around slowly. And again, you know, the imagery here that Casper has drawn and the way Lee has colored this, you know, with all the guns out, you know, this sort of shaded, muted patina over it all. You know, and then, you know, the other crewman, seriously, Doc, she's in a really bad way. I said turn around. You know, and the way Joe Caramagna has lettered this with a red band, you know.
Yeah.
And then just perfect reveal. She keeps doing this. And then you see Aphra smack, you know, the door frame, close it, and no. And what does Edna always say? No capes.
Exactly. No caps.
Nice touch there. Very nice touch.
And I like the red coom as she shuts. It's, yeah.
And then, of course, we get to the next page, and Aphra is searching out BT-1.
And I love the colors on this page. All the purple hues in this panel.
How dark it is in this hall, and you know, it just this is really good atmospheric coloring here. I mean, Lee Loffert has done a great job.
And so yeah, she's reaching out trying to find BT-1, and just stop playing dead, you homicidal trash can. I've rebuilt you enough times to know an ion grenade wouldn't keep you down this long. And she says she basically says, I've sealed the troops in the ops core and locked the bridge from the outside. I think Tolvin's still out there somewhere. I can't make it to the brig. Yes, obviously I need your help. Of course, he's trying to extort her. She calls him, you little extortionist. I'm your only superior officer who's actually conscious. It's an order. Did you get my dad out of there? No, alive, you little psychopath. But look, if it'll help incentivize you, anyone else is fair game. And I love this panel. He says, bleep, as all of his weapons come out. Every single one of them just cracks me up.
And then you had that exterior shot of the, you know, of the rebel troopers, and all you hear in the background is a whomp, rrr, and they're just looking around going, wait, what's going on? And then this is where it gets really cool. Shelley, who said that? Didn't you wonder how I knew you were aboard? It's because my flesh crawls whenever you're near. Tolvin? Flesh crawls? That's weirdly poetic. Wait. You mean literally the electro tattoo. You got one just like mine to help me bust out of a Kresker. We synchronized for short-range comms back when we were together. And this panel.
Yeah, did we know about this?
You know, I don't recall.
I don't remember this
initially,
happening.
Initially, when you and I were discussing this beforehand, I didn't recall that. But then, you know, now I'm going to have to go back and look at that issue during the Kresker jail story arc.
Yeah, I don't remember this happening, but it sounds vaguely familiar, but I don't remember the synchronizing and everything. And yeah, the fact that the together is coming out of, I'm assuming that's supposed to be Tolvin's heart.
Well, no, it's where her tattoo is.
I know, but that's what it looks like it's coming out of.
Yeah, and then again, props to Joe Caramagna for this, because I like the fact that they have colored dialogue here. So we know that Aphra is in red. We know that Tolvin is in blue. And just, you know, that's really intriguing that they would do that. You know, it's, you know, I mean, you know, especially with that tattoo, with that electro tattoo. So that's really intriguing. I like that a lot.
Again, it's another technology that we haven't seen before that we might see more of.
Possibly so.
And I love this because Aphra says, ow, and Tolvin says, what's wrong? He says, biofeedback. I can feel little bits of your thoughts. You're really close, aren't you? And really angry. And we see Tolvin's got a gun pointing. He says, on the contrary, I'm as serene as a fireball in space. Tell me, Aphra, what am I thinking now? I hope this hurts. And she's saying this out loud. What does that? And she gets shot.
Zot! And again, great shot here. Great colors. Casper has really illustrated this supremely well. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, I know that, you know, we've got a different creative team, you know, for Dr. Aphra Volume 2, but I'm really hoping that, you know, we get some more of Casper Wingard's work here. And I do know he is working on a creator-owned book. And hey, I am always happy when artists that we love get, you know, do their own creator-owned work, because that's always fun to explore. But I do hope that he returns, you know, to the Star Wars comics sooner than later. I mean, I know he's going to be on Empire Ascendant, because he had some cryptic tweets earlier this month about drawing tauntauns. So
that'll be fun.
Oh yeah! Plus, he's listed in the credits for Empire Ascendant anyway, so we know.
Well, there is that. But, and the great shot of Tolvin just jumping and just trampling on top of Aphra.
Yeah,
saying, and just ruined my life, cost me everything, deleted my bleep 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 memories.
Just sort of almost like a, you know, a what is it, you know, the Festivus holiday, an airing of the grievances.
Yes, absolutely, both of them.
So
she's used me to try to kill the Emperor, and she says, a mission that you ruined. And she says, don't pretend you cared about that. One master is the same as any other to you. Just as long as you've got someone telling you what to do, you never have to feel anything. And then they start talking through the tattoos again. And
yes.
Tolvin, it tells us, you're wrong. The rebellion has given me something new, something I've never known before. And Aphra's walking along, don't say hope, don't say hope. And I love this image of Aphra lurking along with her shadow looming so large, but it's in front of her instead of behind her.
Yep, going through the bowels of the ship. And this, I'm going to age myself here. but this reminded me of like Lode Runner for the Commodore 64.
Oh yeah. So, yeah. That's great. And she's saying to herself, don't say hope, don't say, and she's saying, don't say hope, don't say hope, don't say, and Tolman's about to say hope, and she pushes her down into like a, I'm guessing it's like a trash compactor.
Yeah, it's totally a trash compactor, and, you know, and I'm still confused as to why every trash compactor we've seen in Star Wars has water in it, so.
Well, I assume we know it's not just water.
My well, yeah.
Assumption is that it's, yeah.
Yeah, don't go there, dude.
Yeah, but they both fall in head first. And Tolvin just keeps on, you know, more of airing a grievance. Says, you know, I broke every discipline for you, every layer of armor I'd ever built. Do you have any idea how hard it is for someone like me to be vulnerable? I gave up everything for you, and what did you give me in return? And Aphra just answers, pain. Pain and joy and need and chaos. And all the other things to prove you've got a heart. And she's touching her shoes. I can feel it, Magna. You believe in what these maniacs are selling, don't you? They're good at that. And so then she starts talking through the tattoo again. She goes, you're thinking that right now their new base is vulnerable to attack. You're trying hard not to think about the name of the world it's on. She's trying to convince her to let her know where it is.
Oh yeah, she's playing both sides. She's
playing her.
She's trying to leverage Tolvin's emotional attachment to herself.
She's trying to read her mind. So. She goes, you're thinking it'll take a while before the defenses are built and the evacuation plans in place. And you know that if I learn where it is, it's only a matter of time before Vader does. So tell me, Magna, can you hear what I'm thinking? And Tolvin turns away, and then we get this beautiful page of the two of them embracing, kissing with this light, this shaft of light coming down on them. Just
oh, no.
Beautiful.
Dude, this page is amazing.
Almost and makes you forget they're in raw sewage. And they're standing in raw sewage. I love it.
Given the fact that we're recording this, you know, like the way we are, I'm curious to see what the reactions are going to be, because there is going to be a wide swath of Star Wars fans who are just going to lose themselves in glee with this image. And it's a great image. It's a great kiss. That is a kiss that kills.
Yes, right there. It is.
So, and, you know, and that's, you know, and that's a nice, good, oh, you know, that's just a great kiss. And I love that they're, you know, they're willing to make this happen. You know, that says a lot.
And then it is. And then on the next page, I love that we get this image of the ship just floating in space with that light around it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get them laying in, you would assume, the afterglow, because they're both.
Definitely the afterglow.
Yeah, disrobed.
And I guess Carrie Fisher was wrong. There is underwear in space.
There is, yes. Absolutely, or at least in the comic books, yeah. And this is juxtaposed with an image of BT-1 dragging somebody around. I guess it's supposed to be her dad.
I think it is.
Dad. She's getting dressed, and she turns around, looks at her, and you see her touch her. You hear this hot.
Hot.
And then she runs off.
And you know that she is both happy with herself and probably hates herself for doing this. And then, of course,
now,
right,
do you think she did it just to get the information?
No, I think she took advantage of the situation.
Which is what she does. In every sense of the term, she took advantage of this situation turn.
But here's the deal, and here's my assessment. And, you know, somebody, you know, out there may disagree, and that's fine. That's you know, feel free to disagree. But I genuinely believe that Aphra loves Tolvin.
I think she does. I just think she doesn't know how to do it.
Exactly. You know, she gets. It's like what that Andrew Lloyd Webber song. I don't know how to love him.
Right.
But she has got a very deep seated, deeply rooted, abiding appreciation, fascination for, enamored of, love for Tolvin. They have a connection.
And the feeling is mutual. Yes, they absolutely have a connection.
More, yeah. This is a love that is brighter than a thousand suns.
And if you've ever been hooked on someone that you knew was bad for you, but you couldn't pull away, you can absolutely identify with this.
Yeah,
identify totally. It in more ways than I'm comfortable admitting.
Okay, that's you totally relate to that. So we get to the next page, and Tolvin is running after. I want to thank Casper for my the gratuitous power droid shot.
I love it. Yeah. About to fall over, looks like.
It's just, you know, we hear the pump, 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 which is clearly the alarm. What the? Report! And then everyone's, you know, we get the rebels are like, Captain, where have you been?
Never mind see, that.
You'll notice here, she gets called Captain.
Yeah.
So, Aphra is not dumb. Because she remembers what Tolvin said at the beginning of the
Everybody
book.
Everybody above the rank of captain knows. Yeah.
So,
she says, get my strike team out of the ops room and report. Damn it, I heard launches. And this is where we find out someone's ejected all of the escape pods, and we know who. And Tolvin says it's a firing screen. She's trying to stop us from shooting it. And we see a boom. The shuttle, ma'am, it's blasted to open the hangar. I can't get a weapons lock. Too many targets. Single life sign aboard. She says maybe she's leaving her father, leaving behind her father again.
Yeah. And then, of course, Tolvin, you know, like you said, standard. But, you know, Tolvin is also all business. Sergeant Six, I trust you attached a tracker to the shuttle. Standard procedure, boss. Then what are we waiting for?
Catch that damn woman.
And they shoot off into hyperspace. And
and it took me a second to figure what was going on. I realized, oh, she's in the escape pod.
Yes, she is.
Clever.
And it is the other Dr. Aphra who's on the shuttle.
So. Yes. And we cut to the Kartovian formation, Ashmoon 1, where we have Velada. And again, you're talking about the colors. I love the colors on this. It looks like a completely different book. And she's running along, And then the ship just kind of crash lands. The shuttle crash lands. And she's running. She goes, Aphra, is it you? It's me, Velada. Please be you, Aphra. And this voice says, yes, I'm Aphra. Do you happen to know what's going on? And we realize it's a different Aphra. I think I may have slept through a few important developments. And she says, like that? And there's a big creature coming. Yes, that sort of thing.
Okay, and I want to know one thing. Casper, if you're listening to this right now, this panel where you see Velada looking, staring up into the shuttle as the gangway opens, and you see the other Dr. Aphra. Did you intentionally mean to make her hair look like a Mon Calamari?
And did you intentionally mean to make the other Dr. Aphra look like John Wayne at the end of The Searchers?
Oh, that's a good one. I like that reference.
But I think, yeah, I see what you're saying, though. I think that's a good call on that one, because she does look like a Mon Cala from behind. And he says, yes, that sort of thing. You probably better stay behind me, dear.
We see our sand sharks.
Yeah. Probably better stay behind me, dear. And then we cut back to space to the escape pod, and we hear a bleep. And Aphra started talking to B2, and she says, yes, as a matter of fact, I am proud of myself. Using this pile of junk to remotely fly a shuttle wasn't easy, you know. And yes, thank you. I am aware you could fill this pod with poisonous gas and just vanish wherever you like. But here's the thing, BT. I know you. I know you've got a secret line to 000 set up in that chassis somewhere. And I know you two are just itching to ditch those restraining bolts and flounce off to antagonize and exterminate the galaxy at leisure. And he says, bleep? He says, well, of course I can help, dummy. And all you'd have to do for me is ask your friend to deliver a very, very private message. And we wonder what this is going to be, because then we cut to the executor and 000 coming in, dreadfully sorry to interrupt, at his most obsequious, if that's the right word. Says, I have a communique for your ears only. I'm assuming you do have ears.
Oh, that's a low blow.
He says, you know, seeing you like this, I can only assume some great lucky individual had a great deal of enjoyment at your expense. And there's a, do not test my patience, droid, the message. And he just squeezes him. Yeah, he's like, he chokes a droid. That's great. And, of course, we see Vader with his helmet being lowered onto his head. She goes, yes, well, it's Mr. Saffer. She's learned the location of the Rebel base. She says, and we cut back to her, dress warm.
To be concluded. Great ending. Great penultimate issue. Solid story. Loved everything about this.
And the cover for the next issue looks awesome. We'll talk about it when we talk about the issue. But suffice to say, the cover looks great. I cannot wait to see what they're going to do at the end of this. One thing I do, though, I do hope that she doesn't completely give away the location of Hoth, because it will sort of negate what happens at the beginning of The Empire Strikes Back and negate the assumption that it's Vader saying that's it, the rebels are there, because he feels Luke's presence.
Well, it's funny. Well, it's funny that you say that, because, you know, that knowing what we know, and I just can't see the story group or the comics undermining what we saw in the events of Empire Strikes Back.
Which is why I'm excited to see what's going to happen with it, because they're going to do something interesting.
Oh yeah, and it's going to be I think it's going to be uniquely done in a way that, while Aphra knows that they're on Hoth, Vader is not going to find out from her. So, because there's no way that they can undermine that.
True.
I think that would just be too dangerous of a precedent, if you will.
I agree. So, really, really, really good book. I enjoyed this so much. So much to unpack in this one. Lots of character stuff, great story, great action, everything. I really wish that we could get an animated film version of Dr. Aphra, which I think would be
great. I mean, supposedly there was a report based on a rumor that somebody heard that Dr. Aphra is being considered for a Disney Plus TV series. And of course there is no confirmation whatsoever, and it's all literally conjecture because there was no actual sourcing. But it was a strong visceral reaction to said news, and I'm air quoting news because it's not news, it's just conjecture. And clearly Disney Plus would be a great venue for that.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just no doubt about it whatsoever. So
we'll cross our fingers for that then.
I got my fingers crossed because I would really like – I would like that a lot. So
I would too.
Matter of fact, I was tweeting about it on the Twitter feed and said, it would be perfect because you could have Asana Staros on it. So
you could.
Because you wouldn't necessarily have to put it, in a specific time frame. So we could, maybe get some details on perhaps, their relationship. So.
And also possibly a couple of appearances by Win-Loss and Nock.
Oh, God, I would love that. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? And then they get their own spinoff. So that's going to do it for the review. Matt, what books do we have coming out next week that we'll be discussing?
Brand new comics, we have just one. We have Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order Dark Temple number 5. That is the final issue of this 5-issue miniseries.
Oh, good.
I know you're happy, but I'm hoping that we get to see what's in that temple. So
if we don't, I have friends who are playing the game and I can find out for us.
Okay. Then we have Star Wars Saga number 1, which is kind of like a, this is what happened in the first phase of Marvel Star Wars comics over the last 4 years. So it's not necessarily, not really anything new in it, but, it's probably very informative. And then we get a raft of reprints. First up is a facsimile edition of Star Wars number 1 from 1977. And this will be, a full price $3.99, printing the original comic as it first came out, ads and everything. And again,
I love
try to haggle the people who are advertising in that issue on their prices. They're not going to honor them. It's not going to happen 42 years later. Okay. And then we get a series of True Believers lines. Which is, a great idea, because what it does is it takes kind of a older comics, from, 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago and reprints them for just $1. And we've got a whole raft. We're getting a Droids number 1, which was, part of the Star Comics line. And actually, and it was aimed at kids, and it's a fun book. I remember, I picked up the omnibus like maybe last year or the year before, where it collected the entire run along with Ewoks, and I chuckled here and there. So
There was some fun stuff in there. It's cute. It's more of a nostalgia trip than anything.
Oh, yeah. Oh totally. Yeah. And then we get True Believers Star Wars Hunter number 1, which reprints Star Wars Volume 1 number 16, which is the first appearance of Valance the Hunter, whom we know as Bylert Valance from Target Vader. So it's a good issue. It's a really good story. We get True Believers Star Wars Vader versus Leia number 1, which is a reprinting of Star Wars Volume 1 number 48. And then again for the next one we are getting we're jumping back to the just concluded run of Star Wars, which is True Believers Star Wars Hutt Run number 1, which reprints issue number 35. And then we are also getting Star Wars Death Probe number 1, which is reprinting issue 45. So So there you go.
Cool. Yeah.
Not too bad.
So lots of stuff to read, but only one book that we'll be reviewing. So be another short show for us next week. And I know everybody is just completely, completely upset about that. But fear not. First of the year, we'll bring more Matt and Jeff.
And I remember, I do hope that everybody remembered before Thanksgiving to set their scales back 15 pounds.
Right. If you're into that sort of thing. So, all right. Well, Matt, thank you for joining me to discuss this book. And we will be back next week to discuss all that is new and great in Star Wars comics. So with that being said, for Comics with Kenobi, I'm Jeff.
And I am Matt.
May the Force be with you.
Always.
Comics with Kenobi's theme song is Mark Hamill Can Handle by Chris Cape. Check Chris out at chriscape.com and on SoundCloud, on Twitter at Chris Cape, and on Facebook.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.
Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy. Don't want to see us running the galaxy.
Bud, stop peeing!